Welcome to the MJA podcast. My name is Kate Swanell. This afternoon I'm chatting with Parker McGinn, who is Conjoint Professor of General Practice at the University of Newcastle, and he's also Director of Research at GP Synergy. Hello, Parker. Thank you so much for your time today.
Hello, Kate.
You've co-authored some research that's going in our 17 July issue of the MJA about pathology testing and how much of it GPs, particularly early career GPs, do. Why does it matter how many tests GPs order?
That's a fairly complex question, but there are a lot of aspects to it. Pathology tests are extraordinarily important for diagnosis, for monitoring of disease, for monitoring of therapy, etc. Mm-hmm. And pathology testing has been increasing markedly over recent years, and much of that increase will be appropriate because we have better, we have more available to us. But it's well documented that there's also a great deal of over-testing or inappropriate testing, and that general practice is an area of concern there.
Why particularly general practice?
It's probably to do, it's to do with how general practice is. It's to do with the greater proportion of pathology that we see that's ill-defined, that you can't put a diagnosis on.
Right.
That's in the early stage presentations before it's apparent just what's going on. So general practice presents a lot of challenges in diagnosis.
Are GPs good at following guidelines about when they should be ordering tests?
Again, that's a difficult question. There is evidence that GPs don't follow guidelines particularly well if compared to specialists, but that may be because GPs take into account multi-morbidity and the patient context, all of which they've got particular skills in, and most guidelines are for single diseases.
So tell us a little bit about your research. What were you trying to test and how did you go about doing it?
We set out to establish change in GP registrars, that's vocational trainees in general practice, mm-hmm. to establish changes in their ordering of pathology tests as they progress through their training, as they went from term one to term two, to term three, and then for a few registrars to term four. What we really expected was we thought that their pathology testing would decrease as they had more experience in general practice, as they'd gone from the environment in hospitals where there's a great deal of serious disease to the general practice context where there's a lower proportion of presentations that represent serious disease, and especially where disease is not as well defined. We have undifferentiated presentations.
Mm-hmm.
So we felt that once registrars got into that environment and the education they're provided with and experience, that they'd become more discerning in their test ordering and the test ordering would reduce.
So how did you go about testing that?
We did an analysis of data from the registrar encounters and clinical encounters in training study, which is a cohort study that we had data from 2010 to 2015,
mm-hmm.
and we looked at data there, data from that that study that basically is a study of GP registrars in consultation practice.
What did the results tell you? Was it unexpected?
Unexpectedly, registrars' volume of pathology test ordering increased as they progressed through training.
Mm.
So for each term of training, there was an 11% increase in the number of pathology tests ordered.
So not what you were expecting at all, really?
No, it came as a little bit of a surprise to us, and we then had to think quite hard about why this might be.
And what conclusions did you draw?
Again, from the observational study, we can't know why it happened.
Mm-hmm.
We can sort of think and suggest reasons. The one reason that we thought was that as the registrars progress through training, they take on greater responsibility, and that's reflected in the fact that they ask their supervisors for assistance less often. So one possible reason for this increase in test ordering is that registrars are actually taking on more responsibility, they're making more decisions themselves, and because they still have, they're still relatively inexperienced, they may well be ordering tests through uncertainty, is one possibility. Other possibilities are that they may, as they progress through training, be taking on more complex and more difficult cases. Our understanding of how general practice training works suggests that that's probably not the reason, but it's possible.
Assuming for a moment that the sort of lessening of the supervision may be the reason why they're ordering more, is the answer simply to supervise them more?
Again, we can't be sure that that is the reason, but that would be a reasonable way to approach that, to provide more resources to supervisors to enable them to probably have more take a bigger role in the practice of their more senior registrars.
But we know, don't we, that as GPs get more experienced, they order less. Is that right?
We do know from our work with established GPs, that's not quite exactly the same as ours, but really quite comparable.
Yeah.
It's evident that qualified established GPs order less tests than registrars.
Right.
Which was one of the reasons why we expected registrars to decrease their test ordering as they progress through training. We can only think that late training period, early unsupervised practice, is likely to be when the volume of test ordering is greatest.
So like a J-curve, really?
Yeah. It, depending on which way you put the graph, a J-curve or a U-shaped curve, yeah.
It suggests that there's some more research needed.
Yeah, I think very much we would really like to understand better why we had this, we found what we did.
Yeah.
So certainly to further explore that issue, I think is quite an important issue. The real issue is the increase in training, is the increase in test ordering as they progress through training. And as you say, it would be really nice to explore in more depth what are the reasons for that increase.
Thank you so much, Parker.
Yeah. Thanks, Kate.